If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello there and welcome to another Eurogamer newscast. We're talking about PlayStation Plus Premium and whether we're going to subscribe to it this week. My name's Tom Phillips and joining me as ever are Eurogamer's trusty news reporting team, Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
And Ishraq Subban.
Hello.
And this week we got news, well, we got more news about PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium, the two new tiers for PlayStation Plus that are releasing as soon as next week in some parts of the world. They're coming to the UK next month in June. And we got sort of a bit more of the puzzle as to what we're going to see in terms of the game catalogs. There are several game catalogs coming, and depending on the tier that you pay for, you'll get more games. With the retro ones reserved for the higher premium tier and more recent PlayStation 4 and 5 games for the PlayStation Plus Extra tier. I would say that response to the list has been a little mixed. We were expecting like a full list probably with the service just a week away in some parts of the world. And we got a partial list. And there are some big names there. And some surprises, but as we expected, you know, there's no brand new games. There's no Horizon Forbidden West. Ed, what was your reaction when you saw this list of new list of games come out earlier this week? Was there any there that you were expecting, excited for? Any surprises? What were your thoughts?
I am whelmed by this. I'm not necessarily underwhelmed. I feel like for me, I look at this list and think there's nothing new for me. And I appreciate that I'm in a privileged position of reporting on this. And a lot of the, you know, the newer PlayStation 5 games, I've played them and I'm done. So I feel like I don't need this. But the more I see of this, the more I feel like I am not the target audience for this. I feel like for someone who has maybe struggled to get a PS5 for the last year and a half and finally gets one in the next couple of months, they can subscribe to this and basically get access to the top PS5 games, bar a couple, that have come out over the last year. The fact you've got Demon's Souls on there, you've got Miles Morales on there, they were the two biggest PS5 launch games. You've got Returnal on there, which is probably the biggest post-launch period, at least for a few months from last year. You know, it gives you access immediately to some great games. I personally feel a bit whelmed because I've already played them. But I think for newcomers, it's actually a great deal. And I feel like that, more than ever, is Sony's target with this, is for people to basically get a console and get straight in with a great catalogue of games. If you're a fan that you've already been buying games day one, or you've been playing games for years and, you know, the back catalog, you've played those, you've owned every console, this probably isn't that worthwhile. But I think for newcomers to PlayStation consoles as a whole, I think this is actually a really good deal. But it's just, that's maybe a smaller niche than people expect.
Victoria, if you were buying a PlayStation 5 now, and I think as Ed says, this is a good deal for people who are just getting into the console now and who haven't been buying these games for 60, 70 quid ever since it launched, would you buy Horizon Forbidden West? It's still £60-ish, give or take, although you can get it for PS4 and get the free upgrade. Or would you hold off and think, you know, down the line, these blockbusters are coming to the subscription service at some point? Because Sony has not set a time limit on exactly when its big new blockbuster games will come to this service, has it?
I think for me personally, I think Ed summed it up pretty beautifully, to be honest. I would maybe say personally I'm underwhelmed. But again, for the reasons that Ed has said, I don't think I would rush out to buy Horizon Forbidden West now, because I still would hold out hope that it might come to this service in the future. But again, I mean, as you said, Sony have been quite vague on when their release windows are. And as we've seen there, so we initially got told about Returnal and we were like, well, that's maybe like a kind of year window. But then there's things like Ghost of Tsushima on there. There isn't Ratchet and Clank, which I think is an odd miss, as in the Rift Apart PS5 game. So for me, I wouldn't be rushing out to buy new games because I can't quite work out from what we've been given what the release window is yet. So there is a chance that it might be coming sooner, but I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, well,
I mean, hazard a guess that Ratchet will join in a couple of months.
Because
I reckon a year might be around the time, and Ratchet was June last year. So I would hazard a guess that in a couple of months, they'll be like, hey, here's the next big release. It's Ratchet. And then, I don't know, Horizon's next January.
See, maybe then I'd be more inclined to buy Horizon if I then saw that Ratchet had come out, and I'd be like, okay, well, now we have a slightly more firm idea of a time frame. And then if I was, you know, waiting for Horizon, but I was like, okay, well, it's obviously not going to come out until January, February next year, then yes, I would maybe do that.
Ishraq, did you see the story from Jim Ryan this week, where he was talking about what his thoughts were basically on actually this is from PlayStation exec Hiroki Totoki, actually not Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan's been saying some other stuff this week, but we won't go into that. These are the comments on putting AAA games in the PlayStation subscription, and Sony basically taking the stance that if they were to put their big new AAA games in the subscription, they would have to reduce the budget, shrink the investment is what they said, and actually deteriorate the quality of big AAA releases. Did you see that? I would be interested to hear your thoughts, because obviously this is a different strategy with PlayStation to Xbox.
Yeah, I think they're full of crap, to be blunt. Microsoft's shown that it's just simply not true. I do think it's because, yeah, they don't want to carve into their sales, which is understandable. I think their justification is nonsense. I think that you'd supplant that income just with the number of subscriptions you'd make just for people subscribing to PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium just to get those new releases. So I think it's wrong. I think Sony is being a bit more conservative and safe compared to Microsoft in that they're dipping their toes with slightly older titles to see if there's any there's much traction to it. And if there is, maybe they'll get into it in the future. Whereas Microsoft just went full front on with, got brand new games. Don't have to buy them. So it's an interesting move.
As long as they're not delayed.
Exactly. We'll get into that.
I think my issue with it all is just the questions that they're not answering right now. So I would like more detail on when new games will join the service. Is it a year? So that people are never in a situation where they are buying a game and then a couple of weeks later, that £70 game is announced as coming to the subscription. If there were clarity,
that would really tick me off.
Like, on just say, you know, it will be a 12-month window, and then people can budget accordingly, buy games accordingly, and do that. It's a decent catalog, and something that was a nice surprise this week is that Ubisoft Classics Plus is going to be part of it, which is sort of a cut down version of Ubisoft Plus, where all new games from Ubisoft go into the to their subscription, which is for PC. And there's some older Assassin's games in there and Watch Dogs, things like that. That's nice. There's a line there that says that they want to bring Ubisoft Plus to PlayStation in the future, but I'm not sure if that's going to be part of PlayStation Plus. More likely, I think it's going to be a separate subscription, and this is just sort of a bit of a taster for it. There's not clarity on that. The list of games that we've got is incomplete. I think we got up to like three or four different asterisks in the blog post for all of the different like quantifiers and qualifiers. You know, some games may not be available in every territory. Some will be available for streaming, some others won't. You know, like, how long are these going to stay on the service? that sort of thing. We don't know.
I think Ishraq, you said they're sort of dipping their toes in. It does feel like they're testing the water more than fully committing to this at the moment. Like as a whole.
I also think in terms of why they're not given like a release window of when a game will come to the service, they want the flexibility. If perhaps a game does flop, they can pre-empt the service sooner compared to a game that's selling, you know, millions of copies.
Or if it's a free-to-play PlayStation release. I mean, this is, we've talked in the past about PlayStation's plans to launch 10 new live service games over the next however many years. They have big ambitions in that regard, and surely those will go into PlayStation Plus on day one.
The other thing is, I was wondering, because currently with the current PlayStation Plus service, you get some decent games every month, or like every few months, you know, fairly recent games. Whereas now that they do have the Extreme Premium service, does that mean that the new Essentials package is just diluted with slightly less value games, which is very possible?
Yeah, to be fair to Xbox, we've seen that there. You know, the games that they are now putting out in Games of Gold every month are games that you would never pay or play for because the good stuff goes into Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Has it done enough? Ed, you have PlayStation Plus subscription, but if you were paying when it launches for premium, would you take that option? Would you pick extra, looking at the game catalog as it is now, the bit that we know so far, vague promises of what's coming?
I probably would, because I'm a fanboy. So I probably would just pay for it and go with it.
Even though you're whelmed?
But I am whelmed. But I still want access to these games. I'm sure there's something in there that I would want at some point. You know, and I guess it's an investment on the future as well. You know, that this is presumably going to be going on for quite some time. We know that there are going to be more games coming. So it's an investment into, okay, well, what's coming next?
Victoria, how about you? Were there any games in the list that you've been wanting to play that caught your eye and made you think, actually, maybe a subscription is worth it?
Not for me, no. I mean, I said at the start, I am underwhelmed by it all. And I had a look back even like at the retro games, and I was like, the ones I've played, and I'm not really got interested in revisiting. The ones that I haven't played, I've not played them for a reason. Like, there's nothing in there that I feel like I've missed out on, and it's going to be a golden opportunity to make amends on that, you know, missing part of my gaming history. I mean, the fact they had Worms Armageddon from the PS1, I kind of thought that would be quite cool because I remember playing it with my brothers, but then that's a memory from playing with my brothers. I don't think I would buy it now to try and relive that experience.
There's a few older games that I would definitely recommend. Things like Enslaved, Odyssey to the West is brilliant. Worms, yeah. There's a question mark over how well the PS3 games via streaming will work. That's something that people have brought up in the past. Ishraq.
Based on my experience with PlayStation now, not very good. They'll have to put some serious investment into their streaming services, which hopefully they will with the new premium packages. I kind of doubt it because they just don't have that infrastructure that Microsoft does with xCloud, with their cloud streaming service. So I still think it's going to be really, really...
It is a shame that the PS3 games are limited to streaming.
It's kind of just a sad reality of the architecture of the PS3, means you just can't emulate it with current technology. So it's what we have to deal with.
To be honest, I think it's the PS1 games that I'm most interested in, just because that's the console that I played the least. And I know that there are obvious games now that I'm sure will be added, like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro, that have had remasters and have better versions of them. So it's like, well, is it really worth it? But out of the PlayStation consoles, that's the one that I didn't own. So that's the one that I'd be like, okay, I'm intrigued to play those. And I feel like they've announced the least number of them. It seems to me like they're really pushing PS5, PS4 more than the classics. But maybe that's just my perception of the marketing so far.
Well, we just don't have those full lists because they've said in the past that each of the lists, the PS4 and 5 games for extra, and then the classic ones you get on top of the extra games for the premium tier, run to hundreds of games, and they haven't detailed hundreds of games yet. So we're just going to have to see. We're going to have to see which ones come out when it launches in Asia next week, and then when it comes to North America and the UK after that. It's very difficult to know the full picture. It would be great to sort of compare all three services, Game Pass, Nintendo Switch Online, and PlayStation Plus, but here we are sort of 5 days before PlayStation Plus Premium rolls out, and we don't have that full picture yet. So
I think that's what's frustrating me the most, is what they've not told us more than what they have told us.
Yeah. We're a bit in the dark.
And we won't know until it's live.
Yeah,
which for something that, you know, if you have an ongoing PlayStation subscription, you are asked to sort of convert it. You have the option to. You know, it's difficult to do that ahead of time. And then there's been all the stuff up until now with people not being able to extend ongoing PlayStation subscriptions, which is not a great sign. I mean, on the one hand, that stops people stacking it. They don't want people getting premium for the price of a regular subscription at the moment if you have a Now sub. But it also, you know, is that, do they expect people to not be satisfied with the service when it launches?
Or, it does feel like a lack of
just,
confidence.
Just be transparent about it, and then people don't have a recourse to be like, well, you know, I expected all these brand new games and all you've given me is Knack. You know, I just...
Hey, Knack's great. Okay.
Interestingly, Knack is in this list, but Knack 2 isn't. Where's Knack 2?
They'd have a license for it.
It's bizarre. Is it coming? Is it part of the full list when the service launches? Is Knack 2 only going to be
like
in
that
some
big
regions?
Day reveal? I'm going to be so disappointed. And you're also getting Knack 2.
There's also things like there's Resistance 3, but not 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's
or like
a really
Lost Planet
random
2, but not 1.
List. Like, it seems quite erratic. I'm not sure how they went about picking and choosing what is included and what isn't. I think they just kind of like, you know, put their hand in the bowl. I'll do.
There are instances where there's sort of rights issues and things which will affect them being released. But when you're looking at PlayStation's own first party catalog, I don't know. Maybe they're doing the Nintendo thing where, you know, Nintendo does not have its entire back catalog of N64 games on Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack, whatever it's called. And they're you know, teasing it out week by week, because if you just subscribe day one, played Majora's Mask, thought, yeah, that was fun for a couple of hours, oh well, that's probably it, that's probably all I wanted to play, you just unsubscribe. Whereas by teasing it out week by week, it's like, oh, when's Paper Mario coming? You know, when's something else coming down the line? Maybe they're doing that.
Well, also, if there aren't that many new games for the rest of this year, at least then now they've got something to market by stretching it out and saying, oh, there's going to be a new game every month. And it's not a new game, it's an old game. But, you know, there's something for them to push, like
a
Nintendo do every
you.
Month with their N64 games.
Well, that leads us very neatly on to the lack of
You're welcome.
Some other games. Thank you, Ed. Specifically...
Well, before we move on...
Oh, sorry, Victoria.
Can I just ask Tom, what are you doing? Because you've not said if you are keen or not.
Would love to have a PlayStation 5, but I can't afford one at the moment. And also there's the issue of finding one in stock. So I bought my Xbox and I have Game Pass on that. And as someone who has one console, I think, which probably applies to a lot of people, I don't feel the urgent need to have two. So I'm good.
Yeah, I'd agree
so
with
the catalogue hasn't made you want to sort of switch to a PlayStation?
To be fair, I had a PS3 and a PS4, and I've played a bunch of those, you know, classic games, you know, Last of Us and stuff like that along the way. So I don't feel there's a lot for me to catch up on, per se. I would love to play the new Horizon, but it's not part of the expansion, the premium subscription. So, yeah. For budget reasons, I'm a one console person.
Yeah, I think most people are in the same boat.
Anyway, speaking of the other console, Xbox, so obviously the last week has had the news of the Starfield and Redfall delays from Bethesda, which are basically Microsoft first-party games, and that has left Xbox looking like in a particularly weak position, I would say, for the rest of this year, because when you're looking at their upcoming first party slate, there's sort of question marks around when Hellblade 2 will arrive. We expect that this year, but we don't know for sure. It may not be Forza, maybe, but again, Microsoft really hasn't said anything. So these big games, and specifically Starfield, what was Microsoft's big hope for the end of the year, and why I imagine a lot of people would have kept that Xbox Game Pass subscription going. And, you know, I'll re-up for 12 months, you know, in March, April this year, I'll get 6 months of Starfield out of that. Brilliant. And now we found out that actually we're not. And of course, delays are good for developers, good for games. There's no doubting that. But when it comes to being transparent around subscriptions and those games being those subscriptions, it is an issue. I was looking forward to Starfield, and it not being this year is a shame. I think for Microsoft, they're really going to struggle now to come up with something else to fill that gap. And as much as, you know, Game Pass is about a lot of games in the subscription, Microsoft does look to games like Starfield to keep bumping up those subscriber numbers. You know, they basically go down and then they go up, and then when a big game comes out, and then they, you know, and the goal is that it ever gets higher and higher, and those big releases cancel out the small dips that come along, so it's always rising. I don't know how they're going to do that necessarily, but it leaves us in an interesting place where PlayStation, by its own admission, and Xbox, by warrant of this delay, basically have no new AAA games coming into their subscription services this year. It's a funny one, and
it's put quite a lot of pressure on the Bethesda showcase coming up, I think.
Yeah, I think they'll still show Starfield, but the fact that it's not out
for sure
this year is going to take a real shine off of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by the delay, though. I mean, we've only seen key concept art so far. Whenever they've been doing like their, you know, like, you know, meet the composers, like the sort of like back behind the scenes videos, there's never been any gameplay included in any of that. So I don't know. Maybe it's because I, you know, I'm in the industry, but I don't think anyone was expecting Starfield to release this year.
I think,
personally,
I think it was a very optimistic release.
Yeah, so hopefully people who may have been stacking their subscription in the hope that they will get, you know, 6 months of Starfield, they might have kind of mentally prepared themselves for not getting that, maybe.
I mean, there's no doubt that it was a very difficult decision for Microsoft, and I think that proves the importance of the game for them, that they realize this is their big tentpole release. They can't afford to screw it up. I feel like it was potentially more Microsoft's decision, just because Bethesda are known for releasing pretty buggy games, and people apparently find that funny and are happy to play that. And I think Microsoft are thinking, no, this is a big release for us, we need this to be good. And I think that they're probably pushing to delay it to make sure that it really does hit the mark. It's just, it leaves them with nothing else, because they've just taken too long to develop any other games.
I think people will look at Starfield as really the proof of whether that purchase was worth it, whether all those billions of dollars were worth it in buying Bethesda. Yep. Also, it's the launch of a new franchise, and, you know, this is where potentially decades worth of revenue will either take off or stumble and fall over. And we saw that with Cyberpunk, which was supposed to be, you know, the next big thing from CD Projekt, and now, oh whoops, sorry, let's go back and make another Witcher game, we're hiring.
I think for me, I'm surprised Microsoft didn't have a backup plan, because I mean, Bethesda was making Starfield before Microsoft even acquired Bethesda, right? So I'm surprised that none of the other Microsoft studios had anything planned for this year, if I'm being honest. So to be completely relying on Bethesda's releases as their big blockbuster games for this year, just, I don't know, it just seems very surprising to me, given that no one at Microsoft's internal side had anything.
While I think that showing...
They put a lot of eggs in one basket.
Sorry, Victoria.
Oh, I was saying they do seem to have put all their eggs into that one basket.
I think they have been very ambitious announcing games too early. Things like Fable, Everwild, Avowed, things that we've just not really seen again since they were first revealed. Redfall, actually, you know, announced summer 2021. Not heard anything about it since. I think that there also has been an element of delay due to the pandemic and working from home and all of that. So I wonder what the back half of 2021 was intended to look like. I remember 12 months ago, actually, people were saying, oh, 2021 is going to be a great year. You know, all of those games that couldn't make 2020, we'll see some of those coming back. All those games that were announced ages ago. Yeah, 2020 was a write-off, but 2021, 2022 even will be good because, you know, the pandemic will be over by then and everyone will be back to normal. And yeah, and it just
hasn't... We did have quite a good influx at the start of the year. It's just now really petered off.
Also, you mentioned those Xbox games and I hear those and I'm like, they sound like great titles. And if they're all shown at the showcase, I think the showcase has the potential to actually be really strong. It's just that there's going to be at least a year wait to play any of them. But I think the showcase itself could actually be like, hey, we've got some great stuff coming up. And it's that will be a really positive step. It's just you're going to have to wait for the rest of the year. And this might be a slightly controversial opinion, but I'm kind of happy in a way that there aren't many new games coming out this year because it means that I can finally catch up on the backlog that is ever growing. Also, thanks to Game Pass that adds all these new games that I want to be able to play. And I might finally get to play Endwalker. Because Final Fantasy XIV is a slog. And finally, that's the rest of my year done.
I think it's interesting that if Microsoft didn't have Game Pass, would we be having this conversation about, oh no, what's Microsoft going to do now? I think, you know, if they had delayed releases, I guess we'd still say they need a game to come out, wouldn't they? So,
yeah,
it's hard to say.
I generally use my Game Pass more for smaller releases, though. Like, in general. Like I never really got into, like... I mean, I know Halo Infinite has been quite interesting since its launch, but I never got that hype. Like, I like my Game Pass for the smaller games, so that will still be a thing, even without Starfield and Redfall. I keep calling it Greedfall, I'm sorry. Redfall.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not really a Halo fan, so that didn't bother me. I played a bit of Forza. That was nice, but it's not my kind of game. Like, for me, the big game I wanted to play on Game Pass was Tunic, which was amazing.
Same, yeah.
And it's that level of game that I'm happy to pay, you know, and keep subscribing to Game Pass for.
For the price that it currently is, and if they don't raise the price, the number of indie games you get, quality indie games, I would continue paying for it just for that.
I changed the subject slightly, but on sort of the same topic, I was interested to hear the topics from the EA boss earlier this week or the end of last week, Andrew Wilson, when he was talking about all of their games, because they have a very quiet holiday period as well, but then they have a very stacked Q1 next year. And he was saying, we're sort of living in a world now with subscriptions and also free to play and live service where those big games hitting November every year are less important than they used to be because people don't just, you know, buy one game for the holidays in a box, take it home. They're still spending money day after day on live services and free to play games. Like, people will still be playing, some people maybe will still be playing Halo Infinite, hopefully. But, you know, Forza, people will still be paying and playing that this holiday as well. So when, you know, EA's point was that it doesn't matter that the next Star Wars game and the next Dead Space remake, when that comes out, their Q1 next year, it doesn't matter as much that they're not there for Christmas. And I wonder if that's something that Microsoft have thought when it comes to not having Starfield out on that fabled 11/11 date.
See, I think also, I don't know if this is maybe something that's changed generally because of the sort of pandemic after effects, but a lot of the time, like, I used to use my Xbox now to socialize, and so I'll be playing games with my friends, which, you know, a lot of the sort of Starfield releases aren't necessarily geared towards, whereas I've been having a lot of fun. I know you don't like this, Ed, but I've been having a lot of fun playing Gang Beasts with my friends because it's just a silly, easy game to play and catch up with friends. And
it's a great game, but it's very, very infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still don't entirely know the keys. It's a button mash situation. But it's a lot of fun, and that's how I catch up with my friends, and when I've not been able to see them as much. And I'm happy to pay for Game Pass for that.
there's some great games on there, and you know, to be fair to PlayStation, there's some fun games in there too. I think Microsoft has always from day one said day one games are a big part of the service, and then you take that component out, you know, even if it's not it's not what they would want to be doing, but the reality, the market, the business decision is that you're taking that component away. It will be interesting, I think, to see, and we were talking about this earlier, what third-party games Microsoft decides to throw some money at to make up for the fact that your Starfield, your Redfall isn't there. Games like, well, we were talking about them earlier, but Gotham Knights, maybe Saints Row. So the Game Pass subscription does include that. Is Sony going to do that potentially with any third-party games? It seems like not. That's not what they're doing with their service. But we'll see. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year, and it'll be an interesting week finding out exactly what is in the PlayStation subscription when it does launch in a matter of days. Hopefully we'll be in a more clued up position the next time we talk, but it seems like a good place to leave it. Thank you all again for your time, and if you've made it this far watching us, thank you also. You can find me on Twitter at TomPhillipsEG. Ed?
Ed underscore Knights, an N.
Victoria?
I am Little Chop Shop Gal.
And Ishraq?
You can find me ISHRXK.
Awesome. Thanks everyone again, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.